So we are in our third week of the book of James, and that means we're on chapter 3. And it starts out cautioning those who teach. And I would suggest that this is not just a word for those who teach in the school system, but for any of us who teach in any way. Those of us who are pastors or parents or guardians or grandparents or mentors. How we share things, how we use our words can have a huge impact. So that's why James starts out cautioning those who teach. But he leads us toward the end of the passage to really look at how any of us use our words, how we speak about each other in ways that do good and also in ways that cause harm, which was a challenge for people in his day, and I think we know is a big challenge for people in our day too. So James is this guardrail book that keeps us on track in living faithfully, in trying to follow Jesus in what we do, but especially today we hear how can we follow Jesus in what we say. So let's read from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. I love that. All of us make many mistakes. That should give us courage to be able to admit it when we make mistakes if we know all of us do it. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect. We know none of us is there. Able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. So something so small can have such a huge impact for good or ill, or as we'll read, for blessing or cursing. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. I think that's the very center of this passage. I'm going to read it again. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness or the image of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord. Well, if we go back to the book of Genesis, all the way back in the beginning of the Bible, God gives the first man, Adam, the gift of speech. And he's given the ability to name each creature, to call it by its name. And so he's given this language, this speech, to create and build relationships. But then if you get to Genesis 3, we get to this story of what's called the fall, where the first man and woman, who've been given the gift of words, they go against God's word. And as soon as they do that, as soon as they go against God's word, they begin to use their words, not to build relationship, but to tear it down. They start to use their words to blame. So in going against God's word, they now use their words to harm one another. And that connects with what we heard from James and also how we see people using their words today. We could ask, do our words cause harm or hope? Do they work to build relationships or tear them down? One translation of the Bible, The Message, was put together by Eugene Peterson, and there's a devotional version, and in it he asks, can you believe that there were Christians in the first century, meaning at James's time, can you believe there were Christians in churches who were singing hymns, making confession of sin, praying, And then gossiping, cursing, and belittling their fellow Christians with their words. He says, can you believe that? And then he answers his own question saying, yes, we can believe it because we've done it. I'm going to take a poll right now and ask you to raise your hands. Who here has ever had a time where you've regretted something you said? Yeah, we see James's words speak true. As we heard in the beginning of this chapter, all of us make many mistakes. Mistakes with our language. And I think the situation might be even more complex today because of technology. Just last week, Pastor Eric and I were having a conversation by text, and I'm talking about something that we think we're on the same page, and all of a sudden we realized I was talking about one thing, he was talking about a completely different thing, and we were having the same conversation. Fortunately, it wasn't about something that important, but we laughed about it and kind of moved on. But this is what can happen when we just communicate by text. Like if we have deep conversations that need to happen, if we need to talk about something that's really bothering us with someone else, and you can read this in any self-help book about communication, if you are safe in that relationship, it is so important that we try to do those conversations face to face, because it can so easily get misinterpreted when we just do it by text, or by email, or by letter. I even think I was at a cross-country meet with my husband, and we were at two different places, and I was looking for him, and I texted him, where are you? And when he saw me again, he kind of teased me, and he's like, yeah, I got this text from him, and he's like, where are you? And I said, oh, that's not how I heard it in my head at all. I was thinking, where are you? I'd like to find you, you know? And so we kind of make assumptions about that written word or those texts. And I think when there's something difficult that we want to share, we kind of are scared to do it face-to-face, and so we go into technology to try to do it, and that's maybe at times the worst thing we can do. So we read again that we get it wrong. Every time we open our mouths, we kind of get our language messed up. And it's helpful to remember a couple verses from the beginning of James that we heard a couple weeks ago. From James 1, he speaks these words, and then the whole rest of the book of James comes out of it. That every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. And a couple weeks ago, I shared that God is generous. What this verse is telling us is God is generous and utterly dependable. So if our God is generous and utterly dependable, how is that going to shape our speech? How we talk about, how we talk with other human beings created in the image of God, right? Because we are brought into relationship with God, relationship with Jesus Christ, we know that we are brought into a different way of living than how this world calls us to live. If we look around at the world, I probably don't need to say this in the sermon because you know it, but how many words do we hear or read, whether it's texted or posted or spoken? How many words do we see or hear that are degrading toward other human beings created in the image of God? And James says, my friends, it should not be so. Now, James notes that the words that come out of our mouths are also shaped by what's within. Now, I don't know about for you, but the times when I have most regretted what I've said have been the times when I've not been my best self, when I've been angry or worried or patience has run thin. It's those times, once again, where I haven't found space to really be aware of God around me and working within me. So there's something to being aware of God who's generous and utterly dependable that kind of gives us the ability, with the Holy Spirit's help, to use our words to build up rather than tear down. For according to James, when we speak in ways that tear down or belittle or gossip, we are not being led by the Holy Spirit, but he puts it kind of harshly. When we do that, as his translation, as the translation today puts it, we're being shaped by the fires of hell. If our words are coming from what's within, we got to deal with our own stuff, the baggage that we carry around. I know when I don't deal with my own stuff, when I've extended periods of stress or don't deal with my own frustration or my own grief, it comes out in ways that are not helpful. I remember someone once saying, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. What is hurt and wounded within us can come out in ways that are destructive rather than life-giving if we don't deal with that hurt. So if we're going to work on our words, that they honor one another and give glory to God, then we also are invited to get at the root of what shapes those words, what's within us. And depending on where you're at, it could be seeking out support from a counselor or a mentor or a therapist or a life coach, right? God's given all those people the training and the gifts, and God can work through them to help with healing. If you're struggling with mental health or physical health that's bringing you down, or if you're experiencing addiction, I think a lot of times we think we can just fix this on our own. We go to Dr. Google and I got it covered. But sometimes the challenges we experience are much bigger than what we can fix or handle on our own, and we need outside support. And that's why God isn't just about giving us faith and sending us out to live on our own, but gives us a whole faith community to give that support. And then in addition to that support, it's finding a way to be more aware of God and having God's word shape how we see ourselves and see others rather than all those other words that come at us. If it's true that hurt people, I wonder if the opposite could be true as well, that healed people help heal people. Healed people help heal people. We see this with people who've gone through recovery or grief or an illness, who go back and offer amazing support to people who are then going through it themselves. We know words have the power to build up and to tear down. If we each reflect on our words this past week, what words have we spoken that have torn down? What words have we spoken that have built up? What words have you believed about others or about yourself that are not true? James says our words can be like poison. They can kind of enter into our psyches, and some words can shape how we see ourselves for a long time to come that are not true and shouldn't have that kind of power in our lives. It's God's word about us that matters. Years ago, I remember reading about a person who had experienced an abusive relationship for a long time. It had torn down and distorted how she saw herself and what she believed about herself. And I don't remember all the details, but I do remember that her friends got together and they wrote a journal. They each wrote in this journal all the things that they appreciated about her, all the good things that they knew to be true about her. And they gave her this journal so she could read those words over and over again, that they could rewrite the story that had so long been written about her through the abuse she'd experienced. We sometimes need to rewrite the stories that we've been told or believed about ourselves or others, and to instead hear and trust God's word about us and for us. This week, I've created a reflection sheet for each of us to take home. It's a green sheet that hopefully you got at the beginning of worship. If you didn't, you can get one on your way out. And there's 5 reflection questions. Maybe you pick out a couple you want to think about this week, maybe one a day. They talk about how have other people's words about us shaped us, and what words have we spoken to or about others. And on the back of the sheet is just a small list of all the words that God says about us, what God says about us. And you maybe have many more, but words about who God says we are as people of God. And I wonder if we could read those and have those shape how we see ourselves and others rather than all the other words. That we share words of healing and life in place of all the words of harm and hate. Which words are we going to believe? Which words are we going to share? Which ones are we going to give airtime to in our lives? If we go back to our psalm, Psalm 19, it focuses on the goodness and the life-giving power of God's word. And then it ends with this prayer that's up on the screen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What would it be like if each of us prayed this prayer as soon as we got out of bed in the morning before we went off talking? What if this became our daily prayer? May it be our prayer. And then may the Holy Spirit give us the power to live it. And when we fall short, might we have the courage to speak words that ask for forgiveness from God and each other, and to speak words that share forgiveness, that we might live this prayer each and every day. I know it's a little hard to read up there, but I want to invite us all to pray this prayer together now, as it is on the screen. So let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.